It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Some farmers and mining companies support a Trump administration change to clean water protections, but scientists in the region say the change will threaten small but important waterways.
I don't know a single aquatic conservationist or biologist who thinks, yeah, this rule's great.
That story from the Ohio Valley Resource is just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. A new long-term residential recovery program has opened in the Northern Panhandle. As Corey Nollinger reports, the facility hopes to model healthy home environments for patients and staff.
Tucked away on 150 acres of remote land just outside of Wheeling, West Virginia, the Serenity Hills Life Center really tries to live up to its name. It's a calm, quiet place where women recovering from substance use disorder can stay for up to 6 months to grow in their own path to recovery. Serenity Hills Director Sharon Travis says she wants her program to be more than just a recovery center.
I had Life Center. I did not like to say behavioral health. I did not want to say recovery. This is a place where someone finds their life. Their life was taken from them, and here they'll find life.
The Serenity Hills Life Center tries to make the center feel more homey, with a warm brown color painted on most of the walls in the facility, painted bricks on the block walls in the dorms, and a really strong connection with the rolling hills and forest around the facility. Travis says this is to help promote a safe and comfortable recovery process.
There's different colors and different type of surroundings, light, the outdoors, which we have. You can see that beautiful outdoors there, is better for recovery than the cold hospital type atmosphere. So that's what we try to create here. A nice safe place, it feels homey, surrounded by people that care about them.
The program is structured to be patient-centric. A patient is brought in and put under a 72-hour evaluation. During this time, they're given a physical screening from a doctor, then a team of experts and the patient themselves come up with a recovery plan. Travis explains the importance of giving the patient a say in their own recovery process.
I think it's important for them to know that they're in control of their lives, you know, because I think the addiction makes them feel out of control. So once they start to feel control again, it empowers them, and that's important, is a part of recovery, making them feel that they have that strength in recovery and they're in control of their lives again.
Each patient gets electives where they're allowed to choose a plan that focuses on a spiritual plan to recovery, one that focuses on health and wellness, and education among others. The spiritual plan focuses on reconnecting with religion and recovery, the health and wellness focuses more time in the center's gym, and the education route allows the patients to get their GED or associate's degree through West Virginia Northern Community College. Serenity Hills also attempts to create a support network within the facility with professional staff and peer support. Jaquetta Harrison is one of the peers on staff. She's in recovery herself and is excited to see the patients grow in their own journey.
I don't know, it's very rewarding. It is a discipline and it is a process that everybody has to take their own different path. And it's just never boring to see how somebody's story unfolds.
Serenity Hills offers counseling services for families, especially children, as bonds with family may have been severely damaged while in the grip of substance use disorder. Serenity Hills is a 72-bed facility and started accepting patients in late June. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in Wheeling.
If you or someone you know is suffering from substance use disorder, call the West Virginia Addiction Hotline at 1-844-HELP-4WV or 844-435-7498. The Pennsylvania Department of Health says there is no cancer cluster in a Washington County school district near Pittsburgh, but those who have been affected by the high occurrence of rare tumors there want the state to take a closer look. They want to know if the natural gas industry or other environmental causes could be to blame. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier has more.
Cindy Vallant is sitting in a booth at a Panera, telling the story of her youngest son, Kurt.
He had a smile that would light up a room. Just everybody loved him, you know, because he just had that personality, a magnet personality.
In his first year in college, Kurt started complaining about a pain in his shoulder. A doctor told him it was probably from sleeping on it wrong, but the pain wouldn't go away. A year later, Kurt got a bitter diagnosis, Ewing sarcoma, an extremely rare form of bone cancer.
And he had a very small tumor in his shoulder, but he had a mass in his liver. It was in his liver, lungs, lymph node, and spleen.
Kurt Vallant died 3 years later in 2011. Over the next few years, two other young men in their town of Cecil both died of Ewing sarcoma, which only occurs in about 200 new cases a year in the U.S.
And I said, you know, something's wrong here. Something's really wrong. For as rare as this disease is, how do we get three? Boom, boom, boom.
Among Cindy Vallant's first thoughts was maybe fracking had something to do with Kurt's cancer. More than 1,800 deep shale gas wells have been drilled and fracked in Washington County, the most in the state. Initially, she thought the industry would be good for the farmers in her county, who'd leased their land for drilling.
We'd see the, oh, that must be the oil rig out there flaring up. Look at that lighting up the sky. Never, never, ever would I have connected any of this till after Kurt had passed away.
As was first reported in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, three other cases of Ewing sarcoma were identified in the same school district where the Vallants lived. And a dozen more cases were identified in nearby Westmoreland County. Now, many in the community want answers. At a recent public meeting, Janice Blanock, whose son Luke was Kurt Vallant's neighbor and who also died of Ewing sarcoma, says she doesn't know if anything caused her son's cancer, but she wants the state to find out.
No parent should ever have to watch their child suffer and die, especially when there is even the slightest possibility that it's something in the environment that could be causing.
The Pennsylvania Department of Health looked at the cancer cases in Washington County. It found rates of Ewing sarcoma weren't, quote, consistently or statistically significantly higher than expected there. But that study excluded two recent cases of Ewing sarcoma and one case where the patient's address was misidentified. Ned Kattire, a pediatrician with the Children's Health Alliance, told the crowd there's no shortage of potentially harmful environmental hazards in the area. Acid mine drainage, former uranium and radium sites, and fracking.
Harmful emissions from expanding unconventional natural gas infrastructure, including carcinogenic and endocrine-disrupting chemicals and radiation into the air and water, seriously has to be investigated.
No one from the Department of Health or the governor's office agreed to an interview for this story. Governor Tom Wolf released a statement that said the state had thoroughly regulated the natural gas industry. The industry agrees it's stringently regulated and rejects any attempt to link its practices to any disease. Unlike other cancers, Ewing sarcoma has no known environmental causes. But Evelyn Talbot of the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Public Health says there's some evidence linking pesticide exposure with the disease. She says the best way to test for a cause would be to conduct what's called a case control study. That's where scientists compare information from people who have gotten a disease with a control group of similar people who have not.
Do they have the same background levels of genetic damage, if you're looking at genetic damage, or the same background exposures in your blood?
The Department of Health hasn't yet said whether it's going to conduct any follow-up studies, but said it will review more data as it comes in. Reed Frazier, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It's 7:52. We expect variable cloudiness today with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the 80s. Clearing tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by CAMC Neurology Services, specializing in the treatment of epilepsy, stroke, and headaches. More at camc.org/neuro. And by Bowles Rice, a full-service law firm contributing to the success of our clients and the vitality of our communities through advocacy, counsel, leadership, and service since 1920. The Environmental Protection Agency will decide whether to remove federal protections for what are called ephemeral waterways. The dispute concerns streams and wetlands that mostly occasionally have water. The Obama administration included those in its Waters of the U.S. rule. The Trump administration would remove them. Liam Niemeyer reports some Ohio Valley scientists say water quality and wildlife are at stake, while farmers and developers fear excessive regulation.
West Liberty University professor Zachary Loafman has dedicated his life to crustaceans, specifically freshwater crayfish. He dips his hand into a water tank at his laboratory near Wheeling, West Virginia, to pick up a teal crayfish the size of a dollar bill.
See the little guy dropping down? We caught mom and she had like 300 babies, so we just let them grow.
His team has been all over Appalachia, searching streams, wetlands, and more, documenting crayfish. They've discovered 6 new species, and his students even named one of them after him. But recently, he's been worried the habitats for some crayfish may soon be threatened.
I don't know a single aquatic conservationist or biologist who thinks, yeah, this rule's great.
Loafman is referring to the current Trump administration proposal the U.S. EPA is considering that would take away federal protections from ephemeral wetlands and streams. Ephemeral means they only have water during heavy rain, and that's where some kinds of crayfish live. He and other biologists worry the rule change would cut protection for waterways and open the door for more pollution.
You know, if this were to go into law, we would be losing protection for millions of acres of wetlands, millions of miles of streams.
That's Ohio State University School of Environment and Natural Resources Professor Majeka Sullivan. He helped review a 2015 EPA report that detailed how ephemeral streams and wetlands help filter water to the larger watershed. He says future drought from climate change could mean that more Ohio Valley streams would become ephemeral.
An intermittent stream today could become an ephemeral stream in the future, and then it would fall out of protection. And we're seeing that, at least anecdotally, in areas of Ohio.
The Obama administration cited that report when they tried to expand Clean Water Act protections to include ephemeral streams and wetlands. But developers, the coal industries, and farmers pushed back, fearing excessive regulation. Central Kentucky soybean farmer Larry Thomas favors the Trump version of the rule. Among tall weeds on his farm, he points to a nearby creek bed.
This stream, and I don't know where it stops, will not run year-round.
Thomas says he was worried the Obama-era definition of protected waters was so vague that it could extend to things like water retention ponds on his farm, even though agriculture was exempted from the rule.
They want to grab another tributary and bring into that. And that's what we've done, and that's how we've got to this point. So we've got to say somewhere, where does this stop? Otherwise, we wind up in people's yards.
He believes the Trump proposal provides more clarity for farmers about what water bodies are regulated. But other area farmers say those concerns are misplaced. Laura DeYoung raises sheep in Northwest Ohio and trusts the EPA to stand by their agriculture exemption.
I just think there are better battles to fight, and this isn't a battle they need to fight.
The Obama Clean Water Act rule is currently only in force in 22 states, including Ohio, because of ongoing lawsuits. West Virginia and Kentucky are among the states that had the rule stopped in federal court. West Virginia University agriculture law professor Jesse Richardson says even more lawsuits are likely if the Trump proposal is approved.
So I think it's just going to wind its way through the courts for 5 years, 10 years, who knows?
An EPA spokesperson expects a decision by December. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.